I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, I'm on the plane. Guess what? They effed up my reservation.
We land at 7:35. They booked the car.
Oh, hang on. Excuse me. Sir, I'm here in 3B. I was wondering if maybe you'd switch seats with me so I could have the window. Do you care? Do you speak English? Okay, thank you.
Is that blow?
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 590. For the weekend of February 25th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson, and we are here mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Joining with me today is Brian. Hey, that's Paddington Bear, but by all means, keep calling him Henry Dunaway.
Oh, I know it. That made me so sad. Oh, hi, yeah. Paddington. This week on Film Sack, we use our very particular set of skills in the not-so-friendly skies of HBO Max's nonstop collection of stuck-in-a-plane movies and face our post-9/11 trust issues by first trusting no one, then trusting everyone, and then trusting some of the ones that turn out to be the wrong ones. And we do this for about an hour and 45 minutes until our in-flight exposure therapy session ends with a bang. No, with the bomb, not our window seat therapist. Anywho, stewardess, what is this? I ordered a gin and tonic with a stirrer shaped like a dirty toothbrush so I can stick it in there and swish it about. Because apparently that is something people do. But this is a bottle of water. So I hope you got more than a grab bag full of nuts in that smock. Because I'm not a good passenger. I'm not a good man. I'm not hijacking this plane. I'm trying to save it. Also, I found a bag of Coke in the air turlet. Yeah, I sniffed and tasted it. You know, just in case a giant bag of white powder is really just a share-sized bag of Fun Dip. Score! Randy, you naughty boy. Take us down to 8,000 feet so we can wrestle about the cabin.
Turlet. The plane turlet.
That's amazing. All right, nicely done.
Have you ever seen? You ever seen a bag of cocaine in a movie that somebody didn't stick their freaking fingers always, in and sniff it and taste?
And then taste it. They always have to.
They have to.
Indeed, that is cocaine.
Because how do you know? You don't know. I assume if I needed to know, I'd have to taste it, right?
And do they get training on? Oh, here. By the way, here's what cocaine tastes like.
we could talk about this during the body of the show.
Let's do it. I like it. All right. Well, Professor Randy over here. Also, speaking of which, Randy, don't panic. The cockpit, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Good morning. This is your captain speaking. We have incredibly, unbelievably clear-sounding PA on this plane. In addition to all of the amazing facilities you've probably noticed by now, such as restrooms the size of a small office and galley areas where unattended bottles of booze stay magically glued to the counters. Because we're in an airplane, you can expect some really exciting and scary action to go down over the next couple of hours, replete with passengers screaming and demanding normalcy. While I can't give you that, I can guarantee we'll mostly all survive, as long as three conditions are present. Number one, we need a hero to try to save us. That person must not know who the bad guys are for as long as possible. Number two, we need to have a magical communications network that allows real-time, high-quality comms between the terrorists and our hero. Also, between our hero and his boss back at home, as well as full HD live streaming of news broadcasts from the mainland. Number three, we need literally every passenger to tune their personal television to the exact same live news broadcast. Yes, that means you too, little girl. I said, tune into the magical live news broadcast. I will come back there and take your safety ribbon away. I'm choking. I'm dead now. You're John going dead. To have to smell my corpse for the rest of the flight.
Oh, that poor dead guy in the turlet.
Oh, poor Captain Pike in the turlet.
That's right. I can't believe that was Anson Mount.
I know, yeah, right? Yeah. What a weird little role. All right, finally with us, Brian, nothing more normal than a huge 6'4" man slowly waking up and, or sorry, walking up and down the aisle texting somebody Ibbot.
So true. All right, well, we've seen Liam Neeson rock a plane, and we've also seen him in another movie rock a train, but can he also rock a yacht?
Oh, my Lord. Let's go. I love it.
Hello, Bill. It's been a while. 20 minutes, more or less. I know you don't know who this is, but it's really quite fun to watch you guess. I could be the guy you met in the security line, or the woman to your right. Everyone you met as you walked through the airport all strangely ended up on the same flight. I'm not sitting in 11B, and I'm not hiding in first class, because until you give me the cash I want, I'm really gonna F with your ass. I just want 150 mil. I almost went next to Octopi, but not a penny less. Who are people going to believe? Me or someone with whiskey toothbrush breath? I might be the cop that looks like MODOK, and I might be Paddington Bear. But there's a big bomb hidden somewhere aboard, but at least you're not flying fresh air.
Good callback.
Callback to last week. Thank you very much.
Well done. I always love these.
How long did you spend on that thing? Christ.
12 minutes. 12 whole minutes.
Yeah. Tina's looking like, come on, man. Yeah.
He's like, come on, where do we have? I can't be married to this anymore, she says.
Yesterday when I was starting to rehearsing? Write rehearsing. I was writing it in the car. I was actually able to hit the hello Bill, it's been a while, do it up like one octave higher this morning. Yeah. For some reason, which I won't go into, I have to stay in a lower register.
you know what you need? More practice time.
Yeah.
You just got to understand.
Just more rehearsal.
Understand.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. That's why we only get these every couple of weeks, is because, he needs time. It's fine.
Anytime. Yeah. My voice needs to, it's my instrument, and it needs to recover. Yeah.
Well, let it recover as Scott Fletcher's drippy words wash over you as he explains the movie we watched this week.
Nonstop! An air marshal springs into action during a transatlantic flight after receiving a series of text messages demanding $150 million into an offshore account, or someone will die every 20 minutes.
And I'm going to get this trivia out right away.
No.
The movie is exactly 100 minutes long, minus the credits. The second, and
oh really? Okay.
People die exactly at the 20-minute marks. Oh. So
I was curious about that. Yeah. I was curious because it kind of felt like it, and I was curious, but I was too distracted by the fact. I'm like, oh, that first time he was supposed to set his watch, he could talk for a good 2 minutes before he set his watch. I'm like,
yes,
does that affect everything else?
Looked around, walked down the way, and yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that made me wonder.
How does the bad guy know when he sets his watch?
Right.
Yeah. Well, he's obviously watching him, but still. Come on.
That plane was gigantic. It's an international plane with a whole business area and a whole first class area and a regular coach area. And I felt like he had it shouldn't have been possible to have eyes on him as much as they had eyes on him if it was just those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. This movie's full of interesting ideas. I got to say, though, I really enjoyed this a lot, way more than I thought.
Totally.
Yeah. It's the kind of movie I don't think I want to see twice. But the ride was great. And the last, even though there's a really formulaic end to this movie that just sort of does everything by the numbers in the last 10 minutes, I feel like most of it was really taut and tension filled and really like interesting. And I think the acting's really good. I think there's a lot of really interesting twists and turns and stuff I didn't see coming. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty good. It gave me anxiety, though. It gave me, like, airplane anxiety.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. That's what you want.
Yeah. More than the last one. The last one did a little. The red eye, this was way more, I thought, way more intense.
Yeah, this one told you what the movie was going to be like. This one described what the movie was like. It's nonstop action, baby. Yeah, the last one was red eye.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think like, if for some reason you haven't seen either of these movies, don't watch Red Eye. Like, watch nonstop.
Aww, watch them both. Watch Red Eye.
Yeah, watch them both.
My problem is I've seen 20 of these movies in my life, and like, I wish I hadn't saved this for last. You know what I mean? Like, I would have enjoyed it a lot more if I wasn't so over, Die Hard in a Plane.
And you start seeing all of the repetitive elements, like, oh, we've got another precocious girl on board. It's her first time flying and she's nervous. Mm-hmm. And so he's got to kind of take her under his wing as well. And then you've got the question, well, you have to have a fight in the bathroom. It's just required. And something has to be done to the poor, poor mirror.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, the mirror.
And the lady's got a scar on her chest. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Another,
very immediate question for you guys. I've heard you guys mention Ben Whishaw twice now already. Why are we bringing up the voice of Paddington?
Ben Whishaw.
Because we saw Madsen Bear at the beginning.
Yeah, no, that has nothing to do with Ben Whishaw. It's the Ben. It's the bear at the beginning of the movie. They give the little girl, and the girl brings it on. She says, "Does it have a name?" And she says, "Yeah, I call him Henry."
Yeah.
And my immediate thought was, that's a Paddington bear. Why are they calling him Henry?
It's God's like, that's my name. I have that name. I own that name. You can't use that. Use Paddington. It's right there.
Okay, I didn't even look at the bear. I was so busy paying attention to these two adults who are crouching close to this child. I'm like, would you back away from this child? It's so creepy.
Especially with your toothbrush booze mouth.
Yeah. Bear.
Oh, that's right. He lack of disregard for personal space.
Yes, that was my concern, that I didn't even notice that she had a bear.
That's right. I forgot he gave her the bear and she didn't come with it. But I felt like she was in way more peril than the last, young girl on her own on her first plane ride. I thought about her a lot. I was like, oh shit.
Red Eye girl actually helped out by kicking a suitcase into slow down.
Jack Tripper. Murphy, she was like the voice of reason. It's like, there's two people in the bath. Hey, is nobody seeing this?
Yeah.
There's two people in the bathroom and they're fighting and wrestling.
She was weirdly heroic. Whereas this one felt more realistic and the peril felt real. Yeah, and the whole time I was just like, oh my gosh, dude, this is awful. She shouldn't have to see this.
The surrogate daughter to remind Liam Neeson's character that, he used to be a good man, maybe. Mm-hmm. Don't know.
Well, mm-hmm. It's back when he had a special set of skills. His daughter was under the bed. Now they're going to take you.
5 years after the Taken formula where Liam Neeson turned into Taken and everything. Randy said it was Taken. It was almost Taken on a Plane, but it was kind of Die Hard on a Plane. I don't know. It was kind of unique.
No, not unique at all. That's the thing. Like, you have to enjoy this in spite of the fact that there is nothing new here. we reordered some of the tropes, but it is really, really like a lot of movies that have come before it.
Well, it's okay. So it sits on its laurels on some parts of the movie, but in other parts, it explores something that's kind of new for us to explore, which is our trust issues in this country. So it had an opportunity to talk a little bit about that. So even though some of the characters are tropey, it's like they put a bunch of things from other movies and mixed them in. But I don't feel like it's all just another plane movie. I felt like it had a lot of those things.
You're right. Some of those things are there, those fundamentals. But the thing that was different here was him being framed so hardcore to the point that even he's starting to go, what the frick? Am I actually doing this? Yeah, it was like they should have called this. They should have called this gaslighting
on a plane.
The gaslighting on a plane or something. Because it was he was being gaslit like most hardcore I've ever seen, and that really resonated with me as something fresh on the formula. But it's still a formula,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but a little bit fresh. And by the time he finally convinces everybody that he's not the bad guy. And they all sort of, okay, cool, give me a gun and let this guy, I trust you and all that. That started happening. Then it became very formulaic from them forward, I thought. But prior to that, I don't know. It was a lot of sort of, who the hell is this and how are they pulling this off? And is it? Because I was convinced, I'll tell you right now, I mean, I don't know if this makes me a dummy or an easy mark, but I was convinced that Julianne Moore was doing this.
Oh, absolutely. We were supposed to. We were supposed to. Here's the funny thing.
I've seen this movie before, and I completely forgot who the bad guy was.
That's what's good about these kind of movies is they never punctuate the fact when someone is not the bad guy. And so they go through like a whole list of people who could potentially be the bad guy. So when you go back and watch it again, you can't remember. It's like you ever seen Identity? It's kind of that same.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same way. Every time I watch it again, I'm like, wait, what happens again?
Right.
Because they never punctuate the fact that it was, they were trying to
yeah,
I'd like you to, a lot.
Yeah. The only person I'm pretty sure it wasn't was the blonde sitting two seats back from him.
She was quite preoccupied.
She was, yeah. She was not after any money.
No. Also, it couldn't have been the doctor with the skull cap on. Absolute non-starter.
Oh, like, if they would have done that, that would have been bad.
As soon as I saw that guy, I was like, okay, so these terrorists, what are these terrorists? Oh, they're domestic terrorists. And then I started thinking, like, the whole thing is portrayed inside the plane a lot like Flight 93, which was based on a true story, came 8 years before this movie. And so, I couldn't help thinking about, I wonder if these guys have something to do with 9/11. And I guess they did. Not really. Like it was a really flimsy excuse for terrorism.
Right. Yeah. But, we knew, like even watching this 2014, I was like, oh yeah. Cause we're finally starting to be able to talk about it a little bit. 2001.
Talk about it more.
2014.
Anyway. Yeah. I feel like in 14, in a movie like this, what you're trying to make a point about, that we still have some of these. I mean, I don't want to give this movie too much credit. I don't want to give the movie too much credit, but there are issues of trust, but also we still see somebody in a turban or in a something foreign looking. It looks a little bit Arabic or something. And we all go, like that's still
100% credit. This is completely intentional. To talk about our trust issues and
That's what I'm saying. It deserves that credit. I'm saying I'm not here to say it's the greatest artistic human achievement of all time. Is all I'm saying.
Right.
Like it's just there's and a lot of this that boils down to hey, we got gun. There's a plane and we got terrorists and they're taking over and oh shit. Like there's a lot.
It also kind of assumes you're going to go along for the ride and not ever like. You're not going to ever stop and say, hold on a second, you know, like
it's nonstop. How could we?
His technique as he is like dealing with a bunch of people on a plane. Our main character's technique is 100% Jack Bauer from 24, 100%. He is just, and it's kind of like the movie is like, I think the audience has seen 24. We all kind of know how that goes. So we're not going to examine that. We're just going to do it. And it's exciting and fun, maybe. Mm. We're going to go on, you know? Like, he's an alcoholic and he's down on his luck, right? Yeah. We've all seen Bad News Bears. They don't need this movie to really dig into that. And it doesn't. It's just
going. I kind of does. Yeah.
I think we haven't all seen it. He needs to be... He needs to be... a little broken for this to work. Like he can't be a
like
Boy
us.
Scout. Yeah, but
he's a reflection. He's a reflection. No, I'm serious. I mean, he's a reflection of American society as a whole.
Us as society, not us the four of us.
Yeah, not the four of us necessarily.
Us as a country, our trust issues.
The royal
what
us.
Control, what control? I mean, this is really talking about our control that we have, what control we don't have, what we've given up. There's a lot of discussions going on in 2014 when we had a little bit of space and a little bit of perspective that we could talk about what we went through. And this was an artistic expression of that on a plane.
Yeah, I guess so. The thing that hit me was like, everybody hands up and now he's going through all your shit. And this is just part of a TSA rule. Mm-hmm. I was mad because at the one hand, I'm like, he has to do this. Like, there's no other way he's going to find this guy or find whoever's doing this and then stop this killing that's next. He's in a position where he has to do something like this. And on the other hand, I'm like, this is some freaking authoritarian bullshit on this plane.
But don't we were all still struggling even from that because we all thought about it after 9/11. We all thought, well, what would I have done? At a certain point, you know, some of the planes, they didn't know what was happening. We found out this later, but some of the planes did find out, and what people did was stepped up. Yeah. And that's what they reflected here too. Yeah. But you always ask yourself, how far would you play along, even if it's the government or the terrorist? How long do you play along before you do that? And I, like I said, I think they had something expressed. I don't know which came first, if the idea came first or the, you know, the passion came first to have this discussion. Mm. I would like to think that the passion came first and it was like, this would be a perfect place to put it on, put it in a plane where you're like surrounded by people who are a different races, creeds. Can you trust anybody? I feel the same way when I get on a plane.
No, plane's a great place for this. Plane's a great place for this. It's a great mixing pot where you all are crammed into a tube and put at 30,000 feet and there's nowhere to go. And you got
this movie. Yeah. But this movie knows it's not important. It also knows that it's like I felt like they wanted to create something that was saying something important, but they knew that this movie's not important. And so they only went so far. They remembered to constantly keep in mind this is an action movie first.
So one of the things I wanted to point out is just how full of MCU actors this movie is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you got
and DCU actors
and DCU actors as well. But Anson Mount even is who is he in the
he's Black Bolt.
Black Bolt. Yeah. It's brief and kind of dumb, but it's, you know, still there. Well,
it's brief in the movie Multiverse of Madness, but don't forget the Inhumans had an entire series on it.
They had a whole season.
Exactly. Yeah. That's pretty much the way people should think about it.
But as much as I love Corey Stoll as kind of a slimy bastard, you know,
but hold on. Describe the character, because I don't think slimy bastard really fits.
No, I don't mean in this. I'm saying in his MCU role. In this, I think he's actually just
a bad guy in Ant-Man.
Yeah, he's just a butthole in Ant-Man. He's well. Is it a spoiler now? It's still in theaters. We shouldn't mention
Captain Butthole.
I don't know. I mean, people know. Based on the trailer,
he's in the movie. I mean, if that's what you're saying, take a turn.
Ant-Man was like 8 years ago.
No, the new Ant-Man.
Okay. Well, it apparently will be a spoiler to say anything more than.
Oh yeah, okay. if Randy is thinking that's what we're talking about, then it is a spoiler because you don't know what happened in Multiverse or not Multiverse in Quantumania.
The new one.
That's a whole new.
Yeah. If you've read some comic books that include that character, you know.
Nope.
Okay.
It's not anywhere near where you think it's going. I can promise you that. In fact, you're going to see it
too much. Let's move on.
You're going to see it and you're going to leave a little skitty in your pants because you're going to be like, wait a minute. It's nothing like what I thought. Anyway, Lupita Nyong is in this. She's great. And she was in all your
Wakanda
business. Yeah. And then I was trying to think if Michelle Dockery's done anything. She should. She's great. I love her.
I don't know if Michelle Dockery's done anything. Now, Scoot McNairy's crossed both sides. He was in Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, but he was also not in a MCU film, but he was in one of the bonus, the one that was on Iron Man, the one that came with Iron Man 2, the whole thing with the Mandarin and Trevor Slattery.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. It was Ben Kingsley as Trevor goes to jail. And but he becomes kind of the king of jail, and Scoot McNairy is a character he hangs out with in jail.
I love Scoot McNairy. I watch anything he's ever in. He's one of my favorite character actors. He looks different in everything he plays.
Yeah, he does.
It's crazy. If you've not seen Brian, I love that I bring this up. If you haven't seen Fargo season 3, you should. He's very good in that.
All roads lead to Fargo.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen Halt and Catch Fire, that's where I first remember seeing Scoot McNairy and saying, oh my God, this guy's great.
Yeah.
Man, what a.
And he is a royal piece of shit in 12 Years a Slave. Just a gigantic, horrible man in that. Well done.
And I'm curious if his real name is Scott and then the people called him Scooter and then he just decided to shorten Scooter to Scoot. That's my guess. I don't know, but that's my guess.
Yeah, I would love to know that. That's interesting.
In this movie, you need the characters, the different people that you're looking at, and like you spend the whole movie considering who are the bad guys here, who are going to turn out to be the good guys and so forth, and like who's lying. You need them to all look different. And initially, they do. Initially, you see Anson Mount, and he's got long, straight hair. Why does Anson Mount always have to have weird hair? Why?
I know, it's his job. It's his job.
But then, like, you see this guy who claims to be a New York NYPD cop, and he is. But, like, you see him, and
he looks guilty.
And and you fix what he looks like in your mind. And it's really cool how they went to great lengths to make you understand the differences between the people by just like looking at them, just in a glance, right? But then it's a plane, it's got 200 people. So like you can't differentiate enough, in my opinion. Like at some point they start to all run together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. He's just I'm going
to come back really quickly to Skip McNary because Scott posted this in here. So yeah, his real name is John Marcus McNary. So Scoot, not even, it's not even a play on his name. He got that name, this is from an interview, because he liked to scoot around on his butt. When he was about 2 years old.
Are you kidding? That's
his,
great.
His mom did this then.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. That's so good. And now that name is up in giant letters on movie screens. That's incredible.
I mean, he is the only Scoot, right? Like, you can't think of another Scoot. So,
and wherever you hear it, you're just so happy. Scoot. Yeah.
I can't think of a, performance that I wasn't enthralled by with him, and I thought he was really great in this, very subtle in this.
Wait till you see his Scoot performance.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But boy, can he scoot across the floor?
The one thing that I always wonder though is, or that I thought about during this movie, is it did feel like your secondary cast, as amazing and as deep as it is, they seemed a little like they didn't get the stage they deserved, a little unused. Yeah.
That was part of the distraction though, right? It's like, oh, well, Julianne Moore's here. She's got to be doing something.
And that's the thing. Like, again, 200 people, right? Like, yes, Lupita Nyong'o got not enough lines.
Not nearly.
Like, what are you going to have yet another, cabin steward do? You know what I mean? Like, we already have one.
They even had more. They had some red shirt ones that were never said anything, that were like two or three other people in the outfits walking around with them, but they were the only two we ever got anything out of.
Was it Liz, the network administrator, as well as the, is that right? I think it was right. Because he told one of them, like, go turn on the network, turn it off. I'm like, yeah, but she just do her job.
Yeah.
Network engineer.
We're so concerned with the network.
The network. Well, it's because they were using that kid's stupid phone footage for to add to the story that this was,
Yeah, that was that when we first really, was that when the boom started, when everybody was a roving reporter?
I mean, 2014 is not ancient history. That was,
I mean, 2006 was when YouTube first arrived and we started getting more live stuff, but
yeah, but 2014, we got iPhone 6s and 7s and we're moving on.
Right. But were we filming everything? Were we still doing selfies?
Kind of, but I'm talking about the plane and its connection to the internet. It is 9 years later than the making of this movie, and I dare you today to spend any amount of money to get on the best flight possible,
international flight,
the internet while you're over the Atlantic. I dare you, use the internet successfully. Yeah. You can't.
That was pretty much
good enough for doing Wordle, and that's pretty much it. That's about all that.
You're right.
Certainly weren't getting really local sucks. News feeds from New York or wherever it was coming from.
No, now I know some of that's like satellite, so I don't know if planes, I assume planes in 2014 had that.
Yeah, when
that's
a pretty nice plane. Southwest flight, and they've got the built-in, the TV that comes with your purchase that you don't have to pay extra for. You're watching live news TV and live sports.
Yeah, I think those are all satellites. So
satellite
you can get that
stuff,
fast.
Right? Yeah, it can adjust. Yeah. So they were...
But internet's bad. It. Internet is bad up this there. Bad. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. There's no getting around
okay,
that.
Okay. But there's a trope here that I love so much. And that is when some terrorism's going down, the news, the international news, has useful information within minutes. And it only happens in movies. In real life, you don't like, oh, some terrorism happened 8 hours ago. We have some sketchy information and we're not going to tell you much. In movies, though,
I feel like that's
there's
less
a news reporter naming names within minutes.
You're not wrong, but you're not wrong about the speed because it's a movie and it's compressed. But I would argue we blab a whole lot of shit about things we don't know yet in the news now until we have. And then the details start coming out. So they're always like, 38 million people have guns in a mall right now in Texas, more as we know it. It's like, oh, it was one guy.
And that's kind of being pushed, right? Let's say that's what I was trying to figure out where technology was at this point. 2014, would this person have been filming stuff and posting it directly to YouTube? If that hits the internet, and it blows up on someplace like Twitter, the news, news networks and stuff have got to keep up with Twitter. So they're going to jump onto the bandwagon. It's like, they got to try to compete. So I was trying to remember 2014 and how fast that kind of stuff was happening.
It's not that different from today. We're on the top of a curve right now. This isn't that different. I mean, 2014 was... less than 10 years ago.
Sure. But like years after 2014, a man in New Zealand live streamed himself going into a mosque and killing people.
Yeah.
We all saw that 4 to 8 hours after it happened. It just wasn't, there's just not a, a mechanism for a large number of people, especially people back on site in a plane.
Yeah, but I wonder, just, I wonder if it's because, like, okay, let's just do the scenario. If there was some plane, a big giant international plane.
That takes 6 hours, apparently. That's her time frame, right?
Right, but that was weird, by the way. That felt too short. Yeah. But anyway,
fast plane.
Let's just say that's happening, and there's knowledge of a bomb on the plane, a possible takeover of the plane, and there's this, you know, all this information that the captain has, and he has been radioing this ahead because he's got to talk to the ground and, you know, let them know what's going on. They're now considered a major threat. I mean, and this is, and I'm talking states, this all happens in Europe in the movie.
Right. They're actually like, right, what, over Greenland? Is, so from New York to Greenland.
Iceland, right? I think.
Iceland. Yeah. Iceland, sorry. Yeah.
But they were supposed to go to London, right? That's where they were headed.
Right. That was their final destination.
So those planes were British air fighters that were on the sides. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, I'm just trying to think, if that happened today, would a basically floating giant bomb in the form of a plane, like those dumb balloons we had here recently, would that garner a bunch of massive coverage right away, and therefore a bunch of speculation? And then, okay, well, who's on that plane? And you know, I don't know. I feel like it's not probable, but possible. But in a movie, you have to compress the timeline in a movie to make it work. And I think that's all they were doing.
Right. And I'm not arguing that it's not entertaining. It is very entertaining. I had a hard time going with it. You know, it was just like, oh, all these people watching the exact same thing on the seat back. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah. It worked for me as a it's definitely a device, a plot device, right? Like, there's no way that totally would work that way. But there were enough people. You know what got me? It was the sheer amount of human beings in that plane.
Yeah.
And them and having it, like, for the first time, one of these movies that had all the room, meaning the big middle row or the big middle column and the two side columns, that functioned as differently for me in this movie, because instead of feeling claustrophobic, it felt catastrophic. It's like, look at all these freaking people, and he's got to figure out what to do in here, and the only other air marshal is dead in the bathroom
because air marshal A killed air marshal B. No. Right.
And by the way, I will say this about this movie, is as opposed to last week's or any of our previous films that have been dealt with airplanes, they got that bathroom stuff right. That's that tiny ass space, and those two are barely fitting in there.
It still felt a little big,
absolutely huge. It felt like a cavernous size. Can you imagine? I can barely turn around in an airplane bath. Now, admittedly, I was reading into the trivia. Admittedly, this is a fictional aircraft, right? This is sort of like a Boeing 767, sort of, but obviously it's extended in every possible direction. Yeah. It's got more overhead height. It's got, you know, more width and so on and so on and so on. It's just humorous to me that you're in a bathroom with another dude and a briefcase.
Listen to this little bit of trivia. It says the set for the plane was built slightly larger than a standard commercial airliner to accommodate Neeson's 6'4" height for filming. Because in a standard plane, even the biggest, he has to hunch over. Yeah.
Yeah. He's ducking the whole time. That's what I expected.
So as a guy who is that height, I appreciate them going through the trouble of doing this. And I wish real planes had that kind of headroom. That'd be great.
Because I am
ducking everywhere.
The size of those freaking first class seats. Jeez, with those, they look like big comfy recliners. Yeah, you got all this room.
Find out that the plane was not constructed properly and just rips apart and the seats fly out.
That's true, I guess.
That's crazy.
Well, sure. But those were, we had basically those for our business class to China. Oh, wow. And I remember thinking, is this how, because at the time I'd never done business or first class anywhere else. And so I just assumed, this must be what it's like on a plane if I took it from New York to California. No, they, that stuff is bullshit compared to the international flights. That stuff's awesome. Yeah.
I did love, first of all, I love the co-pilot. He was fantastic. And when he did the dive, that was so good. I really liked the dive scene.
I enjoyed everything about that guy. He was a dick. Yeah. But he was kind of like, just, I got to get this done.
He's naughty. Him and Nancy were getting it with the eyes.
Yeah. That was pretty crazy. But then we were supposed to suspect him for a little bit there.
Yeah, Nancy. Oh, we were everyone. Supposed to suspect Nancy and, him. Was it Jason? What was it? Jason Butler? Is that who it was? Is that the other guy?
I don't know his name.
As the movie starts, the only person you can rule out is the little girl. Like, everyone's a suspect.
Wouldn't that be true? She stands up.
And everyone is so put together. That's another thing. No one has a big breakdown and just curls up and cries. You know, like, you might be able to rule them out if they acted like normal people would and curled up and cried.
Yeah, or would that make them more suspicious, though, is the thing.
Right. Everybody. I didn't like finding out in the end who the bad guys are and then looking back and going, wow, they were really good actors as actors. You know what I mean? Like, they were really, like, pretending that they were innocent all along. They're way good. Amazing.
Yeah, they were pretty good at it. I don't know. Like, I think I liked the twist. I think I just liked not knowing until I knew.
Mm-hmm. And then once I knew the secondary twist of, it's this guy. Not only him, but it's two guys. Okay.
It's the guy who has some sort of ancient mystical knowledge about how to program a device to communicate with another device and make it make a sound. Yeah. I loved how they just were like, lingo, can you do it? No. Right, yes. Right. Maybe. 20 minutes faster.
Right.
Eight.
Right.
Like, that's one of my favorite tropes ever.
I'm one of the terrorists.
My laptop. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So in 2014, we are in the realm of, like, high resolution smartphones. What is Liam Neeson using? What is this sideways typer bullshit thing he's using? What is that thing?
2014.
Air Marshal
issued official.
IVX.
It the must
US
be.
Justice Department is still running devices from 2007.
Right. Here. That dude's totally an air marshal. Look at that phone.
Because it looked like one of those old, I forgot those are called, the companion.
Like a BlackBerry kind of thing.
Yeah, BlackBerry-ish, but there were slide phones. Yeah, the little phones. And there was one they were marketing to teens for a while that I never remember the name of. It may have been,
I think I had one of these about that time, though. That's about the time I had the little slide phone.
Really?
Right before I got into the,
geezer phone user. You had, so
well, I don't think I got into, I didn't get into the market until like the iPhone 6. So up until that point, I think I was using a slide phone right before then.
Oh, man. Well, that would have been about this time. That would have been the 6.
This was the year. This was made in the year of the iPhone 5.
Oh, okay.
Is pretty modern, you know, like, it's pretty advanced.
Yeah, still small, but advanced. Yeah, for sure. I mean, other people on the phone had smartphones. They're on the plane. Other people on the phone.
Yeah, they were taking video.
Yeah. They had fancy video on his Samsung, whatever the hell that was. But I don't know. I just thought, man, the government gives you a shit phone there, Liam.
Yeah.
That's a piece of crap. Nobody wants that damn thing.
Well, they also can't keep up with modern technology because things have to be tested for to make sure they're not.
No, that's true. Vulnerable. That's true. Yeah. Isn't that? That's why you still had like Windows XP machines and
exactly. Yeah. Yes, we know Windows NT is secure, so that's what we're gonna run for the time being.
Yeah, wasn't the thing? What, something failed recently, and everybody was all shocked that they were still running DOS.
It was Southwest Airlines. Southwest. Yeah, Southwest Airlines. Oddly enough.
Yeah. And it always surprises me, though. You'll hear about something like that and go, oh, okay. The last secure thing you've had is a version of Unix that came out in the late 60s. Cool.
Yeah.
I guess do what you got to do. But I also understand it, I suppose. Here's some other fun trivia. And I got scrutiny about this one because I don't know if it's true. But here's a scrutiny I want to be true. Okay. Normally, I'm skeptical and like, whatever. This is dumb. But I want this to be true.
Scrutiny. It
says here, Julianne Moore is a huge fan of Downton Abbey. Maybe. Oh, okay.
Okay.
I have no problem believing that.
Did that come up during the movie?
Well, there's more. There's more to it.
Darn. Okay.
Since Michelle Dockery portrays the main character of Downton Abbey and portrays Nancy in this film, Julianne would ask Dockery for possible spoilers and secrets for the show. Yeah, I hope that's true because it sounds cute and kind of wholesome.
It totally does. They're just sitting there having coffee in the by the craft services table. Yeah. And so what can you tell me about the new season of...
I'm not allowed to say
about how that's not, trivia for the movie, though.
I know, right? That's what I'm saying. It's just
maybe
weird
belongs
thing.
On Julianne Moore's page or something.
I don't know.
But like,
well, no,
but
yeah,
they're both there.
The context is the movie. Yeah.
It's a fancy way. Okay.
On a press junket,
it's a fancy way of saying Julianne Moore and Michelle Dockery have something in common in terms of what they like. Yeah. And they're both in this movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But
well,
but also,
she doesn't just like it. Michelle
Dockery. My
guess
is that during the press junket for Nonstop, Julianne Moore went on Jimmy Fallon and he's like, so what's it? Did you enjoy making the film? She's like, oh yeah. Oh, I get to work with Michelle Dockery. I'm a huge fan of Downton Abbey. I was even hitting her up for spoilers.
Yeah,
blah, and then blah, blah. Boom. Somebody said, that's trivia. I'm going to add it to the IMDb page.
You rushed to the IMDb page and added it. Yep.
It's my duty.
You're probably right about that.
Off to IMDb now.
I like this. So this is great. I love this one. The two main female crew cabin members, portrayed by Lupita Nyong'o and Michelle Dockery, as we mentioned, share the same on-screen names as Jacqueline Bisset and Karen Black's flight attendant characters from Airport 1970 and Airport 1975, which came out in 74.
That's not coincidence.
Dwayne and Nancy. Those are the same. They use the same names. I love it.
It's not a coincidence.
I like it. You know what? I like that better than the Wilhelm scream. Stop using that. And just call everyone Gwen and Nancy once in your movie. Do that.
See, this is why it's important, because I don't remember much about that movie, but the maker of this movie obviously remembered something about it. It's important to retell some stories, I think, sometime. Or it's okay to retell stories.
Yeah.
Even if you've already seen it personally.
Yeah. Okay. How do you like this one then? This one's my favorite also. Second favorite.
Okay.
All Liam Neeson's character name in this film is Bill Marks. In Taken, 2008, Taken
it
2,
was Marks
2012,
Bill.
And Taken 3, all three Takens, his name is Brian Mills. Both share the initials BM. He's a BM.
I think that's a bunch of BM.
Only play BM.
Yeah, BM only. That's his rule. I don't know.
And then there was a movie where he was a cop with a counterfeit ring, and he was looking for marked bills.
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
That's an MB.
Bill Marks marked bills.
My favorite bit of trivia, because people love to make connections between people in movies and then put it in the trivia.
Yeah.
And by far my favorite one is that Liam Neeson is obviously in this movie. The main captain of the flight is played by Linus Rocha. Linus Rocha was in Batman Begins as Batman's dad. And so was Liam Neeson as Ra's al Ghul, right?
Yeah.
Weird. Spoilers. Like okay.
Weird.
That's very trivial.
And then Liam Neeson's character died, quotes, died in the train in Gotham, which rhymes with plane.
Does it?
I knew that guy looked familiar. I couldn't place it though. Is he a British actor? Because he had a British accent. I don't
Linus
know
Rocha.
I like that. He I like this.
Rocha. Rocha.
La Rocha.
La Caca Rocha.
I mean, he was in The Chronicles of Riddick. I don't really know this guy.
Yeah, I don't know him really either. How about how about my favorite actor name in the whole thing? He played Charles Wheeler, but his name is Frank Deal. And he was the guy that got the poison later and died in the kitchen.
Yeah. He's a totally innocent guy that Jack Bauer roughs up and attacks. Like, freaking Jack Bauer in this movie, he really assaults this dude. Frank Deal.
But tell me you don't love the name Frank Deal. That's
a good name.
Yeah. It's a Frank Deal.
Yeah, it's a Frank Deal.
Marks.
He was really good in The Outsider. I really liked him in Your Honor. He's good in, I guess he's in Manifest, but I haven't seen that.
Anyway. It's funny that for his IMDb photo, he has to use a Getty Images photo of himself. Can he get that for free since it's him?
Yeah.
And take the watermark off of it?
Can't he Getty it from somewhere else?
Hey, we haven't even brought up favorite character actor, Shea Whigham.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it didn't even hit me until like movie's almost over and I went, he's the voice of the guy back at the office.
Yeah, and that's because I think you only hear his voice until then,
he's
right?
Like, really close up shot when they actually do reveal him.
Yeah,
they why do show they, him why the do they end, like but... his nose so much? Like, we're really in on his nose.
I could watch.
That is his best feature.
I could watch Shea Whigham do anything always ever. He's the greatest ever. I freaking love Shea Whigham.
I was about to say we need to get him into the MCU, and I forgot that he was in Agent Carter, the TV show Agent Carter.
Oh,
yeah.
Well then,
and
he's old Shield.
Yeah, he's
old. And anybody seen Gaslit?
This movie. No. What is it?
Yeah.
It's this weird retelling of the Watergate scandal, and he plays G. Gordon Liddy.
Oh, it's a TV deal. It's a series, right? Limited series.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. Is it good?
I would like to see it. I don't know. You'd see it. Okay. I know that Julia Roberts and Sean Penn did a bunch of like media last year for it, mm-hmm. but I never saw it.
Yeah. It seems like it's full of good people. I should probably that's interesting to me. I just hate the term gaslit. Reminds me that the last 6-7 years have been shitty. And so whenever I hear the term gaslit, I get annoyed and then I don't want to see it, but it's not the word's fault. You know,
Shay Whigham was also in the 9th Fast and the Furious movie just for no reason. Just he's a guy in there.
I think it's the reason is he's awesome and put him in everything. I can't wait. The new season of Perry Mason coming to HBO here soon.
Yes.
He's like this great, like little get shit done kind of character in that. I love him in that.
God, it feels like it's been forever since season one of Perry Mason, but it's really just been, a year and a half?
Yeah, it's not that long. It just feels long.
It just feels long because, we're used to, all right, every March, we're going to get this new show. Every, September, we're going to get this other
new show. I was so worried with so much cancellations going on over there that this was going to get killed because it's just such a small thing. But, man, I love it. I'm so glad it's coming back. So good.
Me too.
If you guys have never seen, let's see, where is it here? If I can find it, dang it. Is it The Quarry? No. Shoot. Anyway.
Take your time.
I can't remember the name of the thing. He's in a movie that I really liked and I want to recommend. And it was about, it had Kevin Bacon of all people in it. Oh shit. I can't find it. It's older. It's the dude who directed the newer Spider-Man movies did it. I cannot find the name of the movie. Anyway, whatever the hell that is. You should watch it. It's good. is it Cop? I think it's just Cop.
Cop?
Cop?
Cop.
I can't find it. Anyway, Shay Whigham. Hell of a dude. Should totally watch it. Oh, and Take Shelter. He's very good in that. All right. Anyway, moving on. Mile High. I wrote here, Mile High usually happens in the bathroom, but it happened with those two people.
Yeah. Right in the aisles, back of my seat. Stop kicking me, man. Yeah,
get out of there. Yeah. What are you doing? Put your wiener away.
Why was that shot in this? Why was that sequence in this movie? I spent the whole movie wondering about the couple that were under the blanket. Why were we shown that?
I don't know.
So
I don't know, because they sure moved off of it quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just there's a lot of red herrings in this film.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite place it because I was like, what's going on here? Yeah. Because it was like, why is he complaining about staying in London for 3 days? Did I miss something? Why?
Is the only reason for him to do all that complaining on the phone before going into the airport was so that we could doubt his, his motivations later.
Right.
It's never paid out.
No.
Yeah. But
the guy looked skeevy. Like he looked like maybe in a script, he maybe had a bigger red herring role to play, but they didn't really play it up. Felt like he was just sort of there or whatever. I liked how they showed.
I can't even remember what he looked like. They only really ever showed her, and then he was always kind of in the shadows. And I kept
disheveled looking douche.
Yeah. It's like, who is that guy? What's he doing? What's he know?
I like how they showed the autocorrection when they'd show the text up in the screen.
I did too. I feel like suppose. Yeah. What was some of the other words? That was actually going to do work something in. Yeah.
It's great. It's a great way to, like, I don't know. It added to the realism for me. It made me go.
Believability. Yeah, for sure.
And in the spin around when he's getting dizzy and the text are all popping up and it's, that was just real intense.
It's good use. It is good, but one of the best uses of that, that thing you see everywhere now, the text, the superimposed text. I think it was used really well here.
Mm-hmm. And it underlines that he's drunk. Now, he's not drunk, but he is unalcoholic.
Mm-hmm. He's not stable, right?
And maybe he's got a hangover, and what's going on this little screen is really worrisome, in his situation.
Yes.
Does anybody have like a favorite high functioning drunk in movies? Like a, you know what I mean? Like somewhat like
I gotta say, every time I think of Columbo, I think of somebody who's drunk, even though they don't really say he's drunk. He always feels like he's drunk.
Mm, yeah,
that's bad. A good one. That's a good one. Let me think here. I've never thought about this before.
Like, I feel like the MCU actually undersold Tony Stark high functioning drunk.
Mm. Yeah, well, Disney.
Yeah.
The comic is so high functioning.
Super high functioning drunk. There's a show I recommended a while back called Slow Horses. And it stars Gary Oldman.
Were they drunk?
Kind of the leader. Well, he's kind of a high functioning alcoholic, and it's a great show. Absolutely should be watched by everyone. By all people.
Yeah.
People. You know what else? What else kind of undersells it, at least until Spectre, is James Bond. James Bond is an alcoholic, like without a doubt. He drinks every day. And until Spectre, you don't really ever get that told as a story, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll give it to, you know what? I just thought of one. Robert Shaw and Jaws. How about that? I got to get that damn shark. I'm going to drink 400 gallons of beer first, but then I'll do it. You know?
Mm-hmm. See, if you want to drink drunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could do the whole cast of Dazed and Confused. They're all pretty functioning. I don't know.
Yes.
Dudley Moore? Does that count?
It's an interesting thing how many movies there are out there where we portray someone as an alcoholic, but then they've got to get something done.
Mm. How about Robert Hayes in Airplane with he has a drinking problem? He throws it in his eye or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Over his shoulder.
I didn't know. So did you? Okay. I'm sorry to derail here, but it is kind of connected in a parallel way. I didn't know this, but all of Airplane, almost shot for shot, is a parody / remake of an old black and white airplane disaster movie.
Yeah, there's
never knew that.
There's a bunch of TikTok videos.
Yeah, that's where I saw it.
Back and forth.
Yeah, that's where I saw this, and it was news to me. And so I started digging around, and I was like, sure. I didn't remember the name of the movie, but there are scene for scene, not joke for joke, obviously.
Right.
But it would be like today if somebody made a parody of, I don't know, something big today. And then you would immediately recognize it. So there's probably some old ass generation that saw Airplane in the 80s and went, oh, that's just like the 1969 thing.
1957. It's called Zero Hour.
There it is. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
There it is.
That is crazy.
It's weird. There's YouTube stuff where you can see it.
I thought, just purely based on Airport and Airport 77 and all those. Mm-hmm. But now I have to find this thing.
Yeah, it's like shot for shot.
Zero Hour is the OG, does anybody know how to fly this thing? Movie, right? So like we're talking about a movie made in 2013 that goes all the way back to 1957 in some cases. It's all right. It's not that great. It's kind of, it's black and white. It's a bunch of people in a plane.
I'm sure it's like, it's an old 50s movie, I'm sure. But
they probably still have like the Rio Bravo stuff, that the flashback stuff, I'm guessing. And
and so wait, you've seen this thing to like its entirety?
I've seen
Zero Hour.
You have? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
All right.
It used to be on, do you remember in the 90s there were like old movie channels?
Yeah.
They don't exist anymore.
Right. Yeah, it's all reality show. Like they've turned their, listen, let's watch some classic movies. That's even in our name, Turner Classic Movies. Yeah, but we're going to have reality garbage on.
Yeah, yeah.
TNT used to be that, and TCM.
Back
in the
day.
Everything goes to die eventually, though. They have all these great ideas. It's like, oh, we should make a channel with nothing but music videos. It'll be awesome. What should we do now? How about a bunch of reality shows? Shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, we're really focusing on the history of everything. We're really having a great channel here. Oh, let's just do a bunch of reality shows.
Let's do alien bullshit or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I just remembered? In one of the X-Men movies, we see Logan meeting Charles Xavier for the first time, and Charles has been drunk nonstop his entire life.
Yeah.
At that moment, like he's been so drunk. I don't know why. I just think that's fun.
Yeah. I like that. let's see what else I got here. We talked about MODOK and I just did it. Didn't I? Mm-hmm. I just gave it away.
MODOK.
All right. Never mind. I don't know what to think about MODOK. Stands for module overdone dork off kite. That stands
right.
for.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's exactly right.
Nothing to do with anything else. All right, everybody, forget what you heard here. let's see. I wrote, the word is intense. I wrote, this is the most intense film for me in a while on FilmSack. Like FilmSack wise, I'm trying to think of the movie that had me gripped for recent memory, and I can't think of anything like this. This had me
that was quite apparent from your messages while you were watching it. I always try to track like what really captures Scott, and this I don't remember the last time
It surprised me. It really surprised me. I hadn't seen this before, obviously, and I just thought we were getting another Liam Neeson Taken ripoff. I don't know what I thought. And it is kind of in some ways, but you know, in a way that's his genre now and it's fine. I kind of enjoy
this time around, right?
Yeah, he was
taking his plane.
Kind of. Yeah.
He took my plane. Get my plane back.
Flight. He was taking a flight.
Everyone else had special skills and he had to be taken.
It's like recently on FilmSack, we watched Moonfall, and that should have been this.
Yeah,
you know, that should have been this exciting and nonstop action and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what the difference is. Like, how do some movies turn out to be so gripping, and then others that have the same kind of excitement, like you're just like, and you just wave them off.
I don't know, direction, writing, concept. Like Moonfall had suffered from. I think a direction problem was Moonfall's problem. I don't know.
And for some reason, it just felt more sprawling. Moonfall did this, you know, with the confinement always ups the tension ante a bit.
Right. So tight spaces are tight spaces. Helpful but, to excitement.
Yeah. But I would say like, you know, a movie like Armageddon closer to what Moonfall is or what Moonfall wanted to be, that still felt more tense than Moonfall. And I don't know. That's also sprawling. So. I don't know. I don't know what makes, you know, something like Armageddon work and something like Moonfall not work,
you know,
as well.
You know what I was wondering, since we also sacked True Lies not too long ago, is how this nonstop movie would have worked if there'd been a bunch of comedy in it. Because I think it could have worked. I really do think there could have been, you know, like they could have made fun of the situation. And yeah,
the most comedy you got was out of Julianne Moore, sort of, kind of.
Yeah. Kind of,
but not
sarcastic
really
comedy.
Yeah,
could you keep Liam Neeson in a situation like that, or would you have to find somebody else to be the lead? Because
I guess he was kind of
comedic in that Alaska chase.
Oh, that was such a weird surprise. It really was.
What
was that called?
I'm not sure, I remember.
Snowplow. It was a
Welcome
different one.
To Snowtown.
Welcome to Snowplow.
How does Liam Neeson not ever make a movie with comic? Like he's known for this, right? Mm-hmm. He's in Taken and Unknown and The Commuter and so forth, right? Like,
sure. I mean, he's also Schindler from Schindler's List, and he's, you know, he's Darkman. And he has a two phased career, right? He's got everything up to Taken and everything after Taken.
Yes.
And I like a lot of what came before Taken. And I'm plenty fine with what came after Taken. He's just such a. I feel like he holds like one of the weirdest places in Hollywood. It's an odd position to have, right? On the one hand, you're in these prestige, one of the great prestige films of all time, Schindler's List.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Star Wars.
Well,
that too.
I mean, see, there's a comedy, Phantom Menace.
That's a hilarious film. He's not happy with how that stuff's going. He was offered a chance to be Qui-Gon again in some on Disney, and he turned it all down and said he doesn't like how they're trying to milk those things. He feels like the stories have been told and they're milking it too much.
Right.
And I'm like, well, he's probably right, but also it's a joke.
Like, how much we gave Lucas for this? We're going to milk it.
Yeah, they're going to milk
blue,
it.
We're going to alien blue milk the shit out of this.
Yeah. It is weird for him to say that, who's been, you know, he's been in five Taken movies, but to say that about something else is a little weird.
I oppose that opinion. I think Obi-Wan Kenobi, the TV show, would have benefited greatly from Obi-Wan having a little more contact with Qui-Gon as a Force ghost. Yeah. I think that would have made a lot of sense, and I spent the entire series wishing for a little more of that.
I could have gone for that, sure.
Yeah,
we do need to get Darkman on the docket again. I don't know when we're going to see
that. Yes, for sure.
But we're mistaken if we think we can live our lives as film sackers and not see
we're
that.
We're mistaken.
I see what you did.
I do want to see apparently an episode of Inside Amy Schumer where Liam Neeson plays a character named Don Cheadle.
Oh my lord! Really?
I've seen that episode. It's really funny.
Interesting.
I'd like to point out that Darkman also stars Frances McDormand, and I'm all in.
Yeah.
If that ever goes streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the bad guy's dude from L.A. Law that played Benny. He's very good, very evil in it.
There was a time before.
Always get confused with Frank Langella, too. I don't know why, but I confuse those two all the time.
Weird. Yeah, they look similar. I'll give you that.
They look similar, yeah.
Here's what do you guys think this is?
Gross.
What do you think grossed me out?
Oh.
I think it's a toothbrush and the booze. I don't know. It grossed me out.
It was gross, but that didn't gross me out too much because I don't know. I have no context. So,
nobody puked. There was no puke breath.
Not pukes.
Was it something in the bathroom?
It was. You're in the neighborhood. I will say it is in the bathroom. Yes.
Yeah. Is it sniffing Liam Neeson's pits as you're getting slowly choked out?
No. So they were. That was such an intense fight scene.
Yeah, it was really intense. It was really good, I thought.
Yeah.
The choreograph work on that was really great.
And you could smell it. You could smell that scene so clearly.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Big stinky scene for sure. I will tell you, well, you've already mentioned it, so it's kind of a giveaway, but it's the fingering and tasting of cocaine. It just grosses me out.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Finger the cocaine.
Yeah, finger the cocaine, then taste it. What
is
this?
I'd like just one time for them to go, oh, that is fun dip. Oh, mine now. Mine.
A whole bag of that stuff. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Get a doctor ready on the other end. You'll be diabetic before you land.
Yeah. So somebody needs to write in who maybe works in the justice field and can say, oh, yeah, no, we're told what cocaine tastes like. So that's why people do that.
I think with like this fentanyl scare and that kind of stuff, I would think that you would definitely not want to, you would want to do all of that chemical interaction with gloves and,
well, fentanyl in its powder form, I think you can. There's a lot of myth around how powerful fentanyl
absolutely.
Is.
Oh, absolutely. But with all the precautions, though, if I was in that field, I would definitely go, okay.
Yeah, we need an expert
doing this old school stupid shit. Where
we need
like
an expert.
Sticking this stuff in our bodies, sniffing cocaine. Bad idea.
We have a
bad
couple idea. Of cops who work in like the drug staff, drug staff. What's it called?
The druggy staff.
No, there's a word for this. There's a cool word. It sounds cool. We're on the drug squad.
Squad. Drug squad. I like the drug
task
squad.
Task force. Drug task force. Yeah. Thank you.
I've heard drug squad.
Drug squad. It's coming to NBC this fall. Anyway, I know at least one, maybe two that do this. So write in and tell us. We'd love to know the real deal. Can you finger and taste drugs anymore? And if you do, how do you know what cocaine even tastes like?
Yeah. And then what do you do about getting really screwed up when you ingest
it? That's what
it?
I was thinking. It would be a bad idea to sniff it, right? That's just like the thing you're not supposed to do, right?
Well, you don't sniff it.
I love cocaine. Does this smell like cocaine to you?
I mean, cocaine
yeah, it does. Let me get another whiff.
Cocaine on your tongue is going to be way less of a problem than cocaine in your nose because the membranes in your nose are going to immediately get it in your bloodstream. Mm-hmm. If you eat it, it goes and hits your stomach and goes away. And if you're only talking about a little dab, it's not going to do anything.
Right. Yeah. I wonder if it tingles or something. Like, oh, that's fresh.
Ooh, that's a fresh batch of cocaine I just fingered.
That's how you know it's working.
Yeah.
They should have had him snort some and then go attack every passenger. That would have been
a little bit of white stuff on the edge of his nostrils. Yeah. Like, look, he's been snorting cocaine.
He should have motorboated it, just the whole bag. And then went
I couldn't
there.
Understand what the bomb was doing in there. I do understand that the suitcase, that briefcase, is the trope of Liam Neeson and Anson Mount don't understand each other. I get that. Mm-hmm. Liam Neeson has him cornered. Anson Mount thinks that he is smuggling some cocaine for some people.
Yeah.
And that's all. That's all.
That's all he thinks it is.
He was put up. Wasn't he framed
No, he was, but they're the ones that framed him. Yeah. They're the ones that said, hey, transport this cocaine for us. And he didn't know about the other plot.
He didn't know the other thing going on.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. But Liam Neeson then misunderstands even that. Liam Neeson thinks that Anson Mount's character is in on the hijacking.
Right.
And he never actually has any evidence to prove otherwise, like all the way to the end of the movie, as far as he knows. Right. Anson Mount was one of the terrorists. And
well, that's because they got a hold of his phone later and found out that he wasn't talking to him. So I think he knew eventually that it wasn't him. Right.
Even yes. I'm just saying a little bit too complicated around that character. I was like, I had to spend too much time thinking it through. A little too complicated.
There could have been an easier way to get to that point.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Coverville, you are dead on about Frank Langella and Larry Drake.
Great pick. That's a great pick.
I love, when you do a search for two actor names, it's always this site, the I look like this or likeness.org or whatever it's called. This one, I guess, is Russian. It's likeness.ru.
Yeah, check it out. Everyone looks the same in America, Hollywood. So these two, I've never made that connection. Now I'll never unsee it. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Especially their mouth. My gosh.
Their mouth is very similar. Yeah.
Now I want to see them kiss deeply.
Well, just print that out and fold it in half.
What grossed Scott out again? All right, let's move on to. Do you want to do some clips?
Nah, I'm good. Oh yeah, let's do some.
Okay. All right, let's do some clips. Here are some clips, and let's start with this one. This is a clip that it's that trope of the first time riding a plane kid. We've done it 2 weeks in a row, literally, and here we go again.
Who's waiting for you in London?
My dad.
Well, we've a seat by the window all picked out for you.
I could listen to Dockery talk and then all day.
There's Julianne Moore in the background going, "Bitch, why did she get a window seat?
I asked for a paper window seat. Bitch."
They effed up my flight. I kind of liked this take with her. She's unusual in this.
Yeah.
Not what I expected from Julianne Moore.
You meant Lady Mary Crawley here. I also felt like she was unusual. There was something about her that you couldn't let go of, that she might be in on the plot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she just never really satisfies, you know?
Yeah.
The idea that she's just a stewardess who's caught up in all this.
She's so fantastic in that Godless series. Oh my gosh.
Oh, it's so good.
So good. See that if you haven't. If you like Westerns, even if you don't. Brian's not even that big of a Western fan.
I assume it's still on Netflix. Yeah, I'm not a big Western fan. And I would have thought that some HBO stuff would have been on forever. but
Godless was a Netflix production.
Yeah. No, if it's Netflix so far hasn't pulled any of this stuff, but I'm with Brian in that
Vinyl was an HBO production. It was an HBO original series.
Godless. Right. Vinyl was, right.
That's what I'm saying. That got pulled. So, you know, nothing's permanent. Don't wait. See it while it's there just in case.
Yeah. I used to have this feeling of like everything's permanent if they produced it. That's not true anymore.
Somebody suggested that it's probably because of all the music licensing and that thing. It's probably an expensive show to keep.
I didn't think of that. I wonder if that's partly why, because they do a lot of music in Westworld, and I wondered about that cancellation. Just cancellation, but moving it off the network entirely and putting it on Tubi and other stuff.
Right.
It seems like a move to try to cover that cost. I don't know.
It looks like Michelle Dockery and Scoot McNairy started making Godless right after Nonstop.
Oh, right. So Scoot McNairy's in there. Yeah.
I forgot who was in that. Yeah.
He's the going blind sheriff in there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to watch that again. I love that show.
It's so good.
I really love it. Okay, here's the captain saying naughty boy.
Naughty boy.
All right. Which is really naughty Batman's dad boy. Saying. So that's cool.
It's a little creepy, yeah.
Yeah. Thomas Wayne saying it. Let's see. We got do we have a situation?
Do we have a situation?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, we got
I imagine because so much of this movie is done with text messages, it's tough to get some clips, right?
Yeah, I'll be honest. Yeah. There's a lot of really good acting, and just it's not that kind of movie. But
right.
Yeah, we got a few. How about this one?
It's not him.
It's not who?
It's not him. It's not who?
It's not him.
It's not who? Me. It's where? It's not what? Who?
Where
how?
Is where is it? So that's Che Wiggum. Let me hear that again.
It's not him.
It's not who?
That's Wiggum back there?
Weird. It's not who?
Yeah, weird. All right, lots of creepy music takes like this, and I like it. Oh, yeah, you hear that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's way creepier hearing it like this than I remember it being in the movie.
Yeah,
like you're hearing voices, like ghostly voices, all wailing.
What you just played feels like when you're standing in line at Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. A little more jaunty there, but
we're waiting for a churro. That's what I feel like.
Still waiting for it. Let's see. We got Ant-Man villain.
What do you do for a living?
NYPD.
London, your final destination?
My fairy brother's getting married to a guy with a British accent.
My fairy brother is getting married.
Fairy brother.
Yeah. That was a great way to establish that this is a old school bigoted kind of a-hole. Oh, okay.
You're definitely NYPD. All right, good.
cool.
Yeah, I wish he'd said fairy godbrother, because that would have been so much better.
That would have been great. That would have been great. All right, I put here's some Scoot McNairy.
I didn't do anything.
It's just great. I like him when he's weaselly. Yeah. Something about it.
I do, but it was like a little over. I mean, I guess he was being the terrorist doing some acting, but when he's being held against the bulkhead, he's like making this face like what it looked to me like was when Luke Skywalker hears that Darth Vader is his father, and he starts making that twisted mouth face like.
Right. you're lying. And what does he say? He says,
that's not true.
Yeah, that's not true. You're the whiner.
You killed him.
Yeah.
You told me you killed him.
You killed him.
No. Search your butthole. It is true.
All right. Julianne Moore saying dick.
Dick.
All right.
Dick. Your name is
keeper.
Dick.
That is a keeper.
Well, my name
is
Bill.
That's a pretty Marks. Good one, too. She's got a nice K on the end.
Dick.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Some Shea Whigham.
Bill, when you send me a text and you say that you're out of options, you and I both know that's not the case.
We'll receive that.
He's also good in that Waco miniseries. Mm. Highly recommend that. It's very good.
I always think of Silver Linings Playbook as my favorite Shea Whigham performance.
I've never seen that movie. I should say.
Oh, it's good. So good, Scott.
Yeah, if you love David O. Russell, you should watch it.
I like me some O. Russell. Why don't I watch that? Good Bradley Cooper, good Jennifer Lawrence.
Russell. Yeah, watch that. Godless Can Wait. Watch Silver Linings Playbook.
Godless Can Wait. A re-seeing of a thing I've already seen twice can wait right. for a thing I've never seen. All right. I like this.
Scott Johnson?
I have this problem. I like old things.
I know. The comfort food. I know.
I'm going to watch Mad Max this weekend. All right. Here is... this is him proclaiming his status.
I'm an alcoholic.
Hashtag, I'm an alcoholic.
I'm a alcoholic. It would have been great if they all, you know, everybody in the cabin said, hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah.
And I've been sober for 13 minutes.
Here's my 13-minute chip.
All right, new situation.
We have a new situation.
Yeah, no shit.
There's that captain, co-pilot.
Shit. Yes, no shit.
He was great, dude.
Me and Nancy are shagging.
Yes. Naughty boy. All right. Is that Blow?
Was that Blow?
I played that already. this guy cracked me up all the time.
20,000. Come on, you wanker.
Come on, you wanker. He was great.
So good.
He was great. I hated him at first, and I really liked him by the end.
Yeah.
All right. Here's an interesting one. We don't usually end with these, but Brian Ibbett, when you were in line for photos in prom 1986. You said this to somebody.
Am I in your way, asshole?
Jeez.
I think it was the punch. I was trying to get to the punch bowl.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, then you were totally justified. Totally justified.
So that was also a great trope. Rule of three.
Oh, the rule. I love the rule of three. Callback.
Yes.
Yeah. Because he had previously been asked that exact question by this guy twice before.
And it's a more modern way to do your one-liners, I feel like. Because one-liners have never really left us, but they're a little less obvious now or a little less stupid like Arnold ones were. And it's a little more like that kind of works. I don't know. Kind of worked for me. It didn't feel cheesy and like a thing he wouldn't say, you know? I don't know. All right. Well, there's that. Now this. It's time for the Film Sack Checklist. What happens when most of the MCU all work together to defuse a bomb? This movie. Check. Not nearly enough Lupita and Dockery. Check. And blue ribbons are magic. Check. We didn't even talk about those, but the blue ribbon was a fun.
I actually wondered if that was going to end up being the thing that grossed you out the most. He carries that around in his pocket right next to his junk. And he
hey, a little girl.
Yeah. And he wraps it around her hand. I would have been recoiling.
It's pretty gross. And it looked gross. It looked dirty. If it had looked fresh and clean ribbon, then I would have probably thought about it last week.
Is that some clean ribbon?
Yeah. You got any clean ribbon in here? I've got a very special set of clean
ribbon. Sometimes when I get through brushing my teeth with my booze, I floss with this ribbon. Here you go.
Hold this for me.
Soundtrack great. I'd give it a VE. Oh, no, we need Star Trek connections. Let's do those first. I had a guess. Now I forgot what it was. So
I just want to do one. Right. I want to talk about Anson Mount.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, just really all we have to talk about from this movie.
He's an easy one.
He plays Jack Hammond in this, and he is, of course, our modern-day Christopher Pike. He starts out in Discovery and then gets his own series, which is called Strange New Worlds, which they're currently filming a season two.
Which is very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Good series. I loved it.
Yeah.
He also appears in Short Treks. He's definitely got the role, and for my money... this is a lot to say. I feel like Anson Mount in 2022 is the best Star Trek captain we've ever had. It's a lot to say.
Oh,
it's
a lot to say.
Right. It's pretty good.
But
it's
you know what? I'm close to agreeing. It's hard for me, though, because I'm a big Picard guy. Young Picard.
No argument, he's in the top two.
Well, we're definitely right. We're getting a chance to see more of Picard in his own series, but the most developed captain we've seen so far, they dive deep into his character. Yeah. It's pretty good.
I think he's really, really good. There was never anybody more suited to play Christopher Pike. Yeah. So we probably don't even need to rank them. This is Coke and Pepsi territory, but it is.
That character's the first captain, right? He's the first one from when we first met any captains.
No, it's true. He's OG.
Not the same guy, still.
Yeah. Right. And where they're taking this character is just so interesting, and Anson Mount has the chops to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we first meet him in Strange New Worlds, he's off on a retreat. And he's like, got a beard. And like, you just like, it's so interesting. And by the way, he has something going on, the characters with Rebecca Romijn's character, number one.
Yeah.
Or just one. Is she called one?
One of ten.
But anyway, like Anson Mount and Rebecca Romijn are so freaking interesting to me. And it's because he's doing a great job of acting a character.
He is also he's a reminder of why Starfleet captains matter so much to the overall arc of everything. Mm-hmm. They need to be what he is doing. They need to be what Picard was. They need to be who Janeway was. And they need to be who Kirk was. They don't need to be Gorka. They don't need to be these guys that are fishy or not sure what they're up to.
All the Discovery. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Pike is a reminder that I feel like Star Trek just rests on their shoulders, and it's really important to get that right. And he is so good at it. And he's so damn handsome, and it makes me jealous because my wife looks at him longingly.
and
he's not aging very, very ungracefully. It's all going great for freaking Anson Mount.
Yeah. And Strange New Worlds is about all of the characters. It's about Nurse Chapel, and it's about Spock, and it's about Dr. Mbenga. There's like a whole episode just about Dr. Mbenga. Yeah. But somehow, even when you see that, you keep coming back to Captain Pike is so interesting.
And you just need him. He's your cornerstone. He's your cornerstone, and you need it in Star Trek, and I really love it. So, yes, if you haven't watched that series yet, you absolutely should. And also go back and watch Hell on Wheels, because in that show, you get to see him fight Miles O'Brien, and that's a fantastic crossover. All right.
And he's a black belt, as you've been saying.
I did not know he's a black belt. That's cool.
Yeah, you did, because we talked about at the beginning of the show that he's
did we?
Black belt. Yeah, did you know?
Oh, I thought you said a black belt.
He plays Black Bolt.
No, I got that. I knew that.
Black Bolt in karate. Yeah.
I thought you said
black belt as well.
Yeah, I think he's a black belt.
I'll admit.
No, but he does have a red on air belt.
Yeah.
I apologize.
No, it's all right. No, it's good. I knew
just the fact that Randy brought up again, I think, is the red on air bolt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I see. No, we talked about Black Bolt in the first part of the show.
Yeah,
right?
We did. That's why I'm saying that Randy bringing it up again is.
Oh, gotcha.
And one of these days, we're going to watch Crossroads for FilmSack.
Yes.
And we are going to visit Anson Mount acting against Britney Spears.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, now that you tell me that, let's go. Let's do it.
Oh, please tell me he plays her dad.
Oh, no. Gosh, no.
Oh, no. I guess he'd be too young.
They're practically the same age.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're that close. He's like our age, isn't he? He's older, I think. How old is Anson Mount? Now I got to know. Hold on.
Yeah.
Anson Mount.
Now I got to know.
I mean, he's so unbearably handsome. He's got to be late 40s, right?
He is all jaw, this guy, and hair. It's the hair, man.
It's got to be the hair.
He is 91.
51.
50. He's 50.
50. Okay. 50. He's the best looking 50-year-old on the damned planet. And it makes us all look bad. F you, Anson Mount.
He is 10 years older than Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Today is his 50th birthday, guys.
Oh, wow.
We're talking about Anson Mount on his 50th
birthday. Weird. That's weird. What's funny? We're doing a Liam Neeson movie, and then Liam Neeson's in the news. It was reported that he was offered the role of James Bond and turned it down because his wife didn't want him to do it. There's a whole big thing about it. Yeah. And not the new James Bond, meaning like years ago he was offered the role before Daniel Craig and turned it down.
Yeah.
I would like to believe that he could have done it justice, like do a Scottish accent, be brooding.
I think he could have done it. Although he seems to always sound Irish no matter what he does, right? He has a hard time faking the accent.
A little bit of brooding.
He doesn't sound really Irish, though. He sounds, he always just sounds like someone who has spent a lot of time in Ireland, you know?
Yeah. Well, he certainly like, has. He was born and lived most of his life there, but yeah.
Yeah. But you know what I mean?
And I would just say, like, somebody who had an extended vacation and just brought a little bit of Ireland back with him, as opposed to somebody who grew up there. And
he doesn't steer into it ever.
No.
Yeah.
I do love him, though. All right. I don't know why I had to confess my love for him. Moving on to the soundtrack grade. I give it a VE for very effective. I thought it worked great for what it was. No issues with the soundtrack, I don't think. Twitter post. This is where you guys sum things up in a certain number of characters or less. Let's begin this week with Randy.
Nonstop. The 15th or 16th Die Hard in a plane movie. Only this time, the one true big damned hero is the co-pilot of the plane. Does he get the girl? Yes. Do they literally walk off into the sunset? Yes, but it was summer in Iceland, so the sun never actually set. They walked off into the sun dip.
Oh, the sun dip. Oh, I love some sun dip. Mm.
Yeah, with the candy on the left side. Yeah. You pull that out and dip it. Yeah.
Oh, sun dip. Very well done. Brian Dunaway, it's your turn.
We didn't talk about it during the show. Hey, Nonstop, a solid action film that takes place on a plane with one of the best yawns ever caught on film. Oh. Hashtag shaken.
Wait, who yawned? I don't remember.
Yeah. Look in the Discord.
Is this the gif that you just posted? This, is him gif. Yawning?
Oh.
Watch his hair shake. I have never seen a yawn so fantastic as I did in this movie.
Gosh, dude. Wow.
And by the way, if you're able to watch this scene again, like just skip around and find it in the movie, his hair color is the worst I've ever seen.
For
the dark scenes, they over-colored his hair so that you could tell that it was hair.
Right.
And it's terrible looking.
But he just returned from the bathroom after taking his smoke break where he tapes the vent. So that's how you find it. He's come back. He's gonna relax. He's gonna sleep. And then he gets the message, and then it's nonstop throughout.
Somebody needs to take this gif and add the screaming goats sound to it when he yawns.
Just like a long drawn out. I love it. Also, tip of the hat just to Corey Hawkins. We didn't talk about him. He played Travis, the hacker guy who turned out to be
Travis,
one of the terrorists.
Guy.
I thought he was pretty damn good.
I like that it ended up being there was a lot of alpha males on this air flight. We kept suspecting all these, you know, these aggressive alpha males to be the bad guys. And of course, it ends up being like the teacher guy and the nerd guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should have saw it coming.
Yeah, it was good.
Theme gangs on a plane.
Yep. Well, speaking of themes, it's a Brian Ibbett theme, and we're going to do his now. Brian Ibbett, take it away.
Nonstop. I like watching film sack movies because it's better than looking at the back of someone's head or a folding tray table. Why do you like watching film sack movies, dick?
Nice.
That's
all
the right.
So you could say dick.
That was the right dick. Emphasis. Right emphasis for sure. Hey, why are we looking at him?
Because Randy? Richard Madden is the shoe-in, in my opinion, for the next James Bond.
Oh,
Richard Madden would be amazing.
Isn't he tiny,
Bond.
Though? He's a little tiny guy, isn't he?
He could still be a tiny secret agent.
Tiny guy.
Daniel Craig was like our bulkiest Bond.
What if we called him James then, Bond, like tiniest agent?
He was a little bit bulky, yeah.
Yeah.
No, not when he started. Sean started really skinny.
I can't wait till he gets his next mission. He goes to M and says, "What's my next mission, Mum?
Yeah,
Mum. What am I doing next, Mum?
Mum. Oh, remember that show? What was that show called?
Yeah, Bodyguard.
Bodyguard was so good.
Yeah.
I wish there was more of that. My vote is in. Yes, Richard Madden, fine. James
Thank
Bond.
You.
Yeah.
King of the North.
Totally.
Yeah, King of the North. Well, temporarily. All right.
Yeah, for a minute.
For a minute. Happened. Then some real bad thing happened at dinner. Anyway, let's move on. It's the alternate title time. Time for us to do alternate titles. These were just handed to me. Boy, some of these, I don't even know what to make of this. This is almost called Oscar Schindler versus Captain Christopher Pike in The Shitter.
Wow, that would be a great title.
Uh-huh, yeah. It's
been a mouthful.
Snakes on a plane.
And then finally, or maybe, Scooter is the Shooter.
Oh, nice.
But that gives the whole movie away, so they couldn't use that.
Yeah, you can't use that as a title. Yeah.
No, that would have been too easy.
Changed it.
Yeah. Well, good news. We have some emails and a couple of texts we're going to read today. We love your emails and texts. Filmsack@gmail.com is where this first one comes from. It is Paul in Flint, Michigan, who says, "Hello, gang. You guys were talking about movies that use communication tech poorly. I have a deep love for a movie that uses a bunch of tech stuff well, but I don't know if it's a good movie. I do feel that if it's a movie that if I like a great deal, odds are pretty good that it's a good one for FilmSack. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The movie is Nerve from 2016. Ooh, never heard of this. And it uses computers and cell phones with all the flaws that they come with.
Oh.
It might just be me, but this movie is the Sunday afternoon rotation. Or is in my Sunday afternoon rotation because it can't. I can't decide if it's a thriller or a rom com. Cheers, Paul.
Right.
It is not streaming. It does include Juliette Lewis, though.
Yeah. It's not streaming now. That's where I remember seeing it the first. Oh, it's on Prime, isn't it?
What is Machine Gun Kelly doing in a movie?
I don't know. I don't know.
Isn't that lowering its quality?
Lowering its bar.
Yeah, I think it is streaming on Prime, though, isn't it? Nerve.
It is not streaming.
What's her name?
It's not streaming on Prime, even though it is.
Jennifer, what's her name? Anyway, she's leaving Machine Gun Kelly now. After all that making out on stage, they're done.
I thought they made up again. Don't hang out on TMZ.
First thing I thought when I heard that news is, I don't care.
Yeah. I don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah, Juliette Lewis, Emma Roberts.
I just want you to know I care about you, MGK.
Aww.
Wait, is Nerve the one about the, like, everybody's competing to do the scariest live stream thing? I did watch this. It's like,
I watched it too.
Is it dumb?
Yeah, it is dumb. It's very good film sec.
Yeah.
Okay.
Material. Yeah.
All right, I'll watch it. Two of the reviews here say, I love this movie except for the bullshit ending. And then the next review says basically the same thing. There must be something wrong with the ending.
It's a fun ride.
I don't remember the ending.
Yeah.
Apparently, I watch a lot of movies and I don't remember any of the endings, which is great. It's like Goldfish getting to experience the theater over and over and over again because it's like, oh, I don't know who done it.
Yeah. I like that.
I kind of always think of it kind of like those, like the Crank movies.
Mm.
Nerve is kind of like that. It's kind of like, is it a good movie? Is it a lot of fun? Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I do know that I like Dave Franco a lot, and Dave Franco is like the star of this Nerve movie, and so I will watch it. That is Alison Brie's husband.
It is.
Dave Franco's seems like a nice dude. His brother's a little douchey, but I like Dave.
His older brother, he has another brother. They have another brother.
It's like the secret Hemsworth brother. There's a secret Franco now, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah, his name is Tom Franco.
Tom Franco.
And this guy has also been in some things.
I don't know why that's funny, but I like how that sounds.
It is really funny. It's like
this is my brother Tom Franco.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like it. It's a good thing they didn't do Al. That wouldn't have worked very well.
Al Franco. Oh, I love it. Yeah.
I don't know why I studied James Franco's family, but I did.
Yeah. Well, good job on that. A couple of quick texts here. 801-471-0462 is where you can send these texts. You can also do voicemails there. We encourage that. Seth wrote in and says, FilmSack, hey gang, on the Moonfall episode, Brandy brought up this conspiracy theory of the government using lotteries to track and arrest time travelers. I have a complimentary crazy person theory. Not only do they do this and use the lottery to catch those that travel forward, the government also invented and planted evidence of dinosaurs to dissuade people from traveling backwards. Much love,
that's
Seth.
That's pretty good addendum. I like it.
I kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's
somebody
good.
Out there is like, no, it's true, guys. Don't make fun of this. It's absolutely true.
Yeah, he's probably super hardcore about this, and his tinfoil is making it hard to hear FilmSack right now. I don't know.
No, I think he gets to hear it better. Like, he can pick up
FilmSack
without streaming.
It's kind of like that. It's kind of like that episode of Gilligan's Island where Gilligan starts receiving radio signals in his tooth.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Just like that.
That's so stupid. I love that, though. I haven't seen Gilligan's Island in 1,000 years. I got to find a way. It's got to be a way.
I'm going to watch that this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to watch that, and then Godless, and then Mad Max, and none of the things I should watch. Here's one from Paul Sevilla, I think. He says, hello, FilmSack. Have you guys ever sacked Eve of Destruction from 1991? It stars Gregory Hines, and it's about a runaway nuclear female android.
Sounds fantastic. What is this?
He says it's like Species meets the Terminator. Totally sackable film, Paul.
Yeah.
I've never heard of Eve of Destruction, but let's look that up.
Mm-mm. No, this looks great. I've never seen this either.
Anywhere?
I've even seen the cover box. Wow, this is something that's totally off my radar.
Is it streaming anywhere that we know of?
Huh.
Let's see. Yeah, Tubi has it.
Tubi has it. Tubi has everything.
I'd watch it on Tubi.
Was the only streaming service I added to my new phone?
Tubi. Of course you did. Of course you did.
Yeah.
You know what I do? I watch it on desktop, and if you have an ad blocker, it doesn't do ads. It just
Brave. Right. Yeah.
It's nice. I like it. Anyway, Eve of Destruction, 1991. We will add it to the list. Why not? I didn't even know Gregory Hines did this.
I didn't either.
News to
I'm
me.
Down.
See here. I'm trying to find Robot Military, like exactly like her creator. Damage during a bank robbery.
It's got Ross Malinger in it. Malinger. How do you say his name? Malinger.
Malinger.
Malinger. The kid from Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, all right. I don't remember him. I've never seen Sleepless.
Yeah, you remember that? You never seen Sleepless in Seattle?
No.
Yeah, it's Tom Hanks' kid who talks him into going to the into the Empire State Building to meet Meg Ryan.
I don't remember that. I didn't see that movie at all. I saw the mail.
You ever seen Sudden Death?
Yeah, with you guys.
Yeah,
Watched it here. Yeah,
he was the kid in that.
Okay, that's the same kid. Fancy.
I
have just added Eve of Destruction to my watch list on Just Watch. JustWatch.com, great place to find out if things are streaming and tag them and find out when they go streaming.
I wish it was better about notifications, though. Like, send me an email or give me some sort of notification when that thing that I've put on my wish list becomes available.
Yeah. Does the app have something? It might. The phone app?
Oh, maybe. That's a good
point. The site, you're right. The site sucks for that, but I think the app does something. I got to lie. Okay.
I got to look that up.
I don't use it enough. Anyway, thank you for your text, everybody. 801-471-0462 or filmsack@gmail.com for those who prefer email. I'd like to mention some new patrons this week. We had some fantastic people step up and join the fray today, or this week rather. And it is Josh Ross, Jeremy Allen, Darren Crone, Topher, and Stephen Harlan. You guys are awesome. And not only are you cool, you're in good company. There's a bunch of great people in there already. And they are receiving wonderful benefits like artwork in the mail, no commercials ever, pre-show content every week, monthly specials, and more. If you want to read about it and learn all about it.
I just want to – Jeremy Allen White. Wow, that's really cool. I loved him in The Bear.
Yeah, he was great in The Bear. Good in The Bear. Yeah. And he wasn't The Bear, though. Anyway, be like them. Join us at patreon.com/filmsack today. Our next movie will be Walking Tall. Walking
with the Rock.
Tall. Yeah, it's The Rock.
2004. So this is the remake of Walking Tall.
Is this the one where he has a big board he hits people with? Big piece of wood?
Maybe. At least that's what the original one was. It was John Wayne in the original?
John Schneider? Who was the original Walking Tall?
That's a big difference.
From the
right. Dukes of Hazzard. Yeah. Dukes of Hazzard. It's a big difference.
No. Joe Don Baker.
Baker. Okay. God, I thought Walking Tall was way older than that.
Okay, I'm looking at the poster and my memory is right. He's walking with a 2x4.
It's a stick. It's a very large stick.
Does he speak softly too?
I think so.
You're supposed to. That's what we've always been told. Listen to this cast. Johnny Knoxville, Neil McDonough, Michael Bowen. We just saw him. What did I just see him in? Something. Shit. I know he's in something Breaking Bad. He's Uncle Jack in Breaking Bad. Oh no, we saw him on Iron Eagle. He's the bully kid.
Oh, right.
An Iron Eagle. Yes. Kevin Durant, freaking Bean Forks in this? Oh!
We got Kobe Smulders. This is like peak Kobe. Oh, no. It's leaving streaming in 2 days. Hold on.
Oh no.
It
will not be Walking Tall.
Is it going somewhere else?
We're gonna have an off-the-air discussion, guys.
Call an audible. Yeah.
Damn it. I hate when that happens because Fletcher even
what about Crossroads?
Or we just move Spree up, you know, put Spree up there.
Spree in its place. A little bit of Spree. I think we figured out wasn't streaming, right? Or no?
No, Spree's on Hulu now.
Right.
Hulu.
Wait, what is Spree? I don't know what Spree is. I mean, I know the candy.
Oh, it's the one we just talked about, the one where you're like, Spree is the one about the Uber driver. It's got the kid with the hair from Stranger Things.
Oh, right. We talked about last week.
Uber driver who live streams himself being a bad Uber driver.
Spree.
Right. So that's what the internet says. So Spree.
Confusing Spree with Nerve.
Spree might be what we see next week if we can't find Walking Tall on an alternate service. We'll let you know. Okay. So we'll talk off air and we'll figure it out.
We're going to figure it out. We've already figured it out.
That's it. Filmsack.com is our website. Patreon.com/filmsack, as I mentioned before, is a great place to go. And if you'd like to review the show wherever you get your shows, that'd be really nice. You don't have to, but we'd love it if you did. That'll do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
I'm an alcoholic.
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Dick.
Yeah. If you did.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.